May the Lord help us to commence by singing the first part of hymn 806. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still, but oh to feel cuts deep beyond expression. Hymn 806, the first part.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33. The prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the God that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honour before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again, there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate, without man and without beast, without inhabitant, and without beast. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place, which is desolate, without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof, shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgments and righteousness in the land. In those days it shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name where she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall not want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in this season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day or night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. Let us pray. Almighty, most holy, eternal Lord God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one Lord, we bow before the throne of grace, where Christ, the Anointed, the Son, the Eternal One, the Advocate, the Mediator between God and man, sitteth and reigneth. Oh, we come to thee, confessing our sins. We come to thee so desiring to forsake them. We come to thee desiring to know the anointing of the Spirit, the cleansing, sanctifying blessedness of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, with all its permeating grace and washing and cleansing. A new heart will I give you has been promised. And dear Lord, it is a great mercy to have two principles within. We have an old principle, but to have a new man of grace working. So we come before thee. It is our prayer and our cry. We would see Jesus. Lord, not to just gaze upon and see the miracles in others and to see the fishes and the loaves. Oh, we want your blessing. Oh, we want our sins forgiven. Want a freshness. Want a fresh embrace. Want a fresh, Lord, understanding of thy love. An evidence, Lord, a blessing that maketh rich. Why, Lord, why are we not thankful for thy mercies? Of course we are, Lord. Oh, we would be humbly thankful. But, oh, Lord, we are dying. We're moving on. We cannot keep alive our own soul. Oh, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. So we will come, Lord, humbly before thee. But we need exercise of soul aright. We need, Lord, patience. We need meekness. We need humility. We need tenderness. We need thy fear in our hearts. Lord, we need living faith. We need the Holy Ghost to draw us, to thy feet where thou art, in the way and time and manner that thou wilt, by thy determined love, draw us to thee. We come poor and needy, Lord. Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, said Isaiah, and dwell among a people of unclean lips. But yet to say, for mine eyes have seen the King. O, remember us in mercy. We do ask for showers of mercy this night. Leave us not to labour and preach in vain. Lord, we must put our mouth in the dust. Oh, we can't make ourselves less than the least, but thou knowest how to do it. We have sinned against heaven and earth and against thee, times without number forgotten, and cast all thy mercies in the sand and the earth of forgetfulness. O Lord, these things ought never to have been, but there are many things that should never have been that have been. And we come to thee confessing our sins. But our only hope is that thou art the same. Thou changest not. I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. We do thank thee for thy gospel and thy word, but we come humbly pleading it, Lord. We certainly do, with the realization of its great blessedness that we so need and long for, and having some of us already obtained help of God, we know its sweetness and its mercy and the reality of its strength and its everlasting power over us. Oh, we long for these renewings. We would see Jesus. Remember this house of prayer. Pray for Zion. Bless this house of prayer. Remember our dear friends, the deacons. Strengthen them much in their labours, burdens, responsibilities. Hear their cries. The church and the congregation. Then ask every case and need. Bless the Sunday school. The dear children, may there be as a glory. Those in going to school, those in business and study, going forth in life. Lord, while we pray for thy blessing and prosperity, may they be brought to fear thy name. Remember those who have departed from thy house. May there be some true prodigals to return. Lord, remember all in middle life, in the heat of the day, and bring them to cast their burden on thee. Bring them to the washing. Oh, may they, O Lord, have that touch and see thy goodness, and may they abide under thy shadow. Remember our aged friends near the end of the journey. We think of one in hospital in much weakness, coming down in weakness. Pray for her, bless her, visit her soul. Lord Jesus, do hear prayer. Do grant prayer for her among this people. And do hear prayer and save her, Lord, with thy goodness and love. Oh, thou art not come to save sinners, and all of us are in the same boat. Dear Lord, remember each in mercy, all in affliction, pain, suffering, young and old alike, personal afflictions, anxieties, worries. Thank thee where there have been healing mercies. So, dear Lord, do remember each, every case before thee thou knowest, widows, widowers, those who plough a lonely furrow, those with a special case, a special need and earnestness. Undertake for, open thy hand and provide. Thou knowest the exercises of thy people this night, the burdens, the cares. Lord, do speak. Oh, do bring us to thy dear feet, Lord. And do bless us. We want realities. We don't want emotion. We don't want sentiment. We don't want intellectual high-mindedness. Oh, Lord, we need the Spirit of God with all its blessed, humbling grace working in us, or to bring us to know the glorious person of the Son of God, manifest in flesh in our likeness, and we conformed to his image and brought nigh by his blood. These are the things that we need. So remember us now as we gather. Well, we pray for this hill of Zion. We pray for our own group of churches, our own denomination. Pray for the editors of our denominational magazines, secretaries of our charitable societies. And we think of the friendly companion, one laying down the labour, another taking up in America, undertake. Think of the pastoralist causes. We think of those in bereavement. We think of Australia. Lord, a deacon now just gone to eternity. In his 90s, Lord, and thy help my servant and bring him back safely. We pray for them, supply all their need in their great isolation. Dear Lord, we pray for Zion at large. I see spiritual Israel in this country and through the earth, the missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Men in deprivation, war, poverty, famine, genocide, make ways of escape. Have mercy on England, Lord, these solemn, dark, calamitous times. Open the eyes of our leaders, may they be ashamed. Bring us as a nation to repentance. Lord, raise up those to blow the trumpet out of Zion. Oh, let thy work appear, undertake for us in the nation. Have mercy on us on the throne when our queen is gone. We thank thee for her. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage, religious, civil liberties, freedom to worship. Now, Lord, we thank thee for thy mercies. Thou art worthy of our praise. Oh, do keep before us thy goodness in time past. Thy mercy in time past forbids us to think thou leave us in at last in trouble to sink. Each Ebenezer we have in review confirms this good pleasure to bring us quite through. O Lord, may we be in the Spirit. Lord, remember us in mercy. We thank you for thy goodness, thy kindness, and those spiritual mercies. O thy precious blood, thyself, the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, the doors of Zion open, the throne of grace, few spiritual friends. These are tremendous privileges. We value them above all. Thy word and thy gospel and thyself. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Hope is in thee. Anything we should have prayed for, Lord, and have omitted, do make up in giving. O Holy Spirit, be do in our midst, bring forth the wine of the kingdom to our souls. Bless thy word, reveal Jesus. Great God of heaven, I plead the name of thine only begotten Son before the throne. Ask all things in his name and for his sake. Lord Jesus, in all confession, sorrow for sin, we come to thee, save, bless us, save us ere we perish. Come, our soul longs for thee. We thirst for the living waters of thy atonement, thy precious blood. Lord of thy care, oh, to be one with thee at last, to be found in thee, to have us within. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, kiss us with the kisses of thy mouth. Oh, thy love is better than wine. Come, oh, we would humble ourselves. Oh, we need to come in thine own time and way. May we be nothing. Come, have compassion. Come and bless us. Come. Amen.
Hymn 1031. What a vile, deceitful heart, filled with sin in every part. But for free and sovereign grace, hell had been my destined place. Hymn 1031.
Thank you.
complete dependence, who need help. I would draw your attention to the chapter we read, the Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty or hidden things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah was the second time was spoken to by the Lord. Yea, the word of the Lord came unto him, dropped in, but he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. And the Lord said he was the maker thereof, and the Lord that formed it to establish it, Jehovah is his name. May we ever remember this. May our hearts ever be aware that concerning the things of God, Jehovah is his name. A name that cannot be described. Jehovah alone, independent of all things, above all things, the creator of all things, dwelling in his own essence. And it would do us good to understand this when the gospel is made precious unto us. For surely this brings forth the authority of his mercy, and it did to Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was found in his day. Like Job, he cursed the day of his birth. He was the weeping prophet. Because of the sins of the people, Jerusalem was being destroyed, the land was being run over, and the people were taken into a very cruel and awful captivity. It was because of their sins. Now, why was Jeremiah born in such a day? Don't you wish you could be born in a different day, when things were better in Zion, without the trials, without the fear of the future? But dear friends, you're in your life appointed by God. You live today by God's appointment. And if you're his, what a wonderful purpose of grace there is to in that matter. Or that we might know him. Friend, we may be like Jeremiah, weep over circumstances, grieve over our portion, our lot, mourn over our sins, the sorrows in Zion, the trials. But God is the same to endless years. He changes not. Friend, it's the same grace in Moses' day, and what a trying pathway he had, as it was in Abraham's day, and what a long wait he had. Look at the pathway of Jacob. Look at dear David, so favoured. But look what he went through before he became king. And oh, how he failed in two outstanding occasions. Look at the glory of Solomon. But a greater than Solomon came to this earth, and a greater than Solomon reigns now in heaven. What is our portion? What is our pathway? The chapter we read was spoken, or the Lord spoke to Jeremiah to bring it forth in a time of absolute calamity. But God gave a prospect and a promise and proved his kindness and his faithfulness under the glory of that blessed covenant, that covenant of mercy, that covenant of grace. And as we read this, you could see the promised mercies to Jerusalem for restoration, that Christ must be brought forth, and there would not be a man to fail to be upon the throne of David, and so forth. His only begotten son to come forth, because after Jeremiah's time, there were no more earthly kings in Judah, although we know of Zerubbabel, who was of the royal line and would have been king had they still been a nation. But of course, they were no longer an independent nation. But you know, this word comes down to us. It's not been hidden, you know. Every word of scripture in the word in the Bible, you know, it's not hidden from us. Yes, we don't know everything in the word. Certainly very little is applied with real power to our soul. But when the word is brought before us, it is a great mercy. So this word to Jeremiah has been recorded for our blessing and mercy. And here we have, in whatever our pathway is, God says, he gives an instruction unto us. Friend, he makes a statement of mercy, an exhortation. Now, we want these exhortations, these gospel precepts, these promises of mercy, empower to our soul. But I believe the point is the circumstances you're in. The word was made so suitable to Jeremiah. It's the gospel word that we need made suitable to us in our circumstances. But it's a blessed invitation. Oh, that God would say to sinners, worthless ones, some of us, we may hear this blessed word and by the Spirit see its value and its compassion to us and its instruction and the promise in it. Call unto me. Call unto me. My soul thinks that blessed word of Asaph in Psalm 50, which I often quote, and I believe God's people have valued that word in the time of trouble. Call upon me. Call upon me. Me. The righteous one, the holy one, the eternal one, the judge to come. But, not just that. Yes, the one, the judge of the whole earth. There's an awful day coming when Christ will come again. But not just that. The one who died. The one who poured out his soul unto death. The one who healed. The one who restored. The one who blessed. The one who shed his blood. The one who rose triumphant. The one who has conquered sin in his people. Do you realize, if you're a child of God, and that's the great exercise, sin is conquered in you and put away in Christ. I know you feel it, but there's no condemnation. No condemnation to those that be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Meaning, seeking Christ, led of the Spirit, weeping, crying after Christ, confessing their sins, drinking in that little hope, that little word in season. Call upon me, he says, in the day of trouble. These blessed promises of certainty, friend, they drop down in the place where they're needed. And do you need a word this night of mercy? Well, I love that word. Call upon me. the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know sometimes I pray it, but I can't always feel its sweetness or its power. It has to be given us. But God is faithful. In the hour of need, it drops in like honey sometimes. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Now sometimes, wait, if you could, I'll rephrase that. God's people probably say every week of their life is a time of difficulty and trouble. And that might be so generally, and I wouldn't disagree with that. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, and we do. But there are times of real trouble, real sorrow. Could be affliction, threatening affliction, disappointment, anxiety, a time of crisis, the agony of looking on loved ones in trouble, and so helpless to do anything for them. Personal matters, desires, exercises, prayers unanswered, providential matters, the unknown way, perhaps fear of the future. How can I go on? What else? The day of the Lord's solemn dealings with us. The day of his chastisements. The day when he catches up with us for our follies. It's a day of trouble. A day of reproach. Friend, when we talk about sins and corrections with God's dear people, it brings over them a tremendous reproach. Sinned against him, whom I need, and I believe is backsliding people, against him whom we love. How could you sin against him and deal so wrongly in your life when you know you've lacked wisdom? How could we do it but left to ourselves? Look in the scripture. Peter, Solomon, David, Jacob, Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, Josiah, Asa, all those godly men, all did, Abraham did, Moses did. How could we deal with it? How could we do it? But we do. It's a day of reproach. It's a day of trouble. Call upon me in the day of trouble. But you know, if you can begin to plead, humbly plead what the Lord has said. I believe there's deep secrets here. Can you plead? Friend, you will be pleading if you're taught of the Spirit what the Lord has done at Calvary for your redemption, and also what he has said, what God has said. It's a tremendous thing, you know. If your soul is opened up to realize the Lord has spoken this, God has said this, and grace be given to plead it at the throne of grace. And plead it, I will deliver thee. I know I'm at the moment not keeping to the word. I'm in Psalm 50. But it did come to me as I was standing here, as I stood up, to plead that word. Lord, thou hast said, great God of heaven, Son of God, Lord Jesus, thy word says, not just a technical word. No, thou hast said, the word made life and power to plead it. I will deliver thee. Now I want to just dwell there on that personal pronoun. I will deliver you. You won't deliver yourself. I will. I will come and have mercy. I will come where you are. I will deliver thee. King Jesus, in the day of trouble, whatever that trouble is, could be a multitude of trouble. I have found with God's dealings, they get so complicated that we are brought, as it says in the psalm, to our wit's end. In Psalm 107, they that go down to the sea in ships do business in great deep waters. These see the works of the Lord, his wonders in the deep. His wonders in the deep. He raiseth and commandeth the stormy wind, that lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They stagger to and fro like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Dear friend, if only we really knew that nothing happens by chance. Nothing. For God's people, and I believe and I hope that we all of us have got some desire, may it grow into realities of great need. For him, nothing. All is appointed. All to remember in your life and my life. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. And he does. But he says, I will deliver thee. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm. He maketh the storm a calm. Then are they glad. Then are they quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Well, that's a very deep word. That desired haven, dear friend, surely must be heaven, or a little heaven on earth, to be brought to the King, or to before his feet. Well, I will deliver thee. I will deliver thee. May I speak to someone this night, in this day of trouble? Well, I know we don't want trouble, do we? We don't want trouble. But you know, dear friend, it's very humbling to realise how we slight God, you know. We slight him. But it's a very blessed thing, and I would be cautious as I say this, but I must say it because it is so true. His love never changes to his church. Never. A fullness of grace, a fullness of love, despite our warts, terrible sins, forgetfulness, he changes not. Have you drunk any of the waters of the gospel? Christ made precious. Go back to him. Go to him. I would love it. Now you've got to remember that Judah was his sanctuary. They had backslidden. He promised a restoration. He promised deliverance. Well, that's a blessed word. I will deliver thee. And there will be an end result. Thou shalt glorify me. This is the end of God's dealings with you, if you're his. To glorify him. I know in the wise man Ecclesiastes, this is the whole duty of man and so forth, but I wouldn't speak of that in a legal way. By grace, you will. Friend, what a blessed thing to glorify God in our lives, our hearts, our life below a little. I know it's so filled with infirmity, so surrounded with failure. But to worship him, the Son of God, God in Christ, God through Christ, God glorified through Christ, thou shalt glorify me. Friend, and when you get a deliverance, you've known what it is to worship him. You've known what it is to worship him. To have an answer of a prayer. It may be over a particular matter, a long period, but you realise how good the Lord has been. Thou shalt glorify me. That's God's will and purpose to all his people. He will have a people to glorify him in eternity, and they will on earth. Thou shalt glorify me. I must come back to the text. Here he says to Jeremiah, in the court of the prison, call unto me, call unto me. This speaks of personal dealings God's personal dealings with us. It's a tremendous thing to pray, you know. It's a great privilege to have a throne of grace. It's a friend is infinite value. It cannot be spoken of. And we make such a mess of prayer, don't we? I know if you're one of God's dear children, tender ones, you'll always be ashamed of your prayers. We can't pray as we wish. We wish we could pray better. But the wonders of true prayer is calling out, call upon me. It's not an ordered prayer necessarily. In the time of trouble, you come to bluntness, pleading Jesus' name. Son of David, have mercy on me. You may only be able to pray that. He says, call unto me, unto me. What a mercy's prayer. What a mercy there's a throne of grace. How can my prayer be, I'm going to wander about a bit here. How can my prayer be answered? How do I know if the Lord hears my prayer? Dear friend, whether he delays in answering or not, I leave it like this with you. If you went outside and did something wrong, or swore, or committed a lie, or denied God, would not God see it? Would he not see it? You don't feel any access in prayer. You wonder where you are, but he does hear you. He sees all things. You'd soon know if he marked you for something. You'd soon realise you'd done something wrong. He'd mark it. He'd deal with it. He hears your cries and groans. And Jesus said, the King, the Good Shepherd, our great High Priest, our Lord, our Redeemer, our God, my Lord, my God, said men ought always to pray and not to faint. How can I pray? How can a sinner pray under conviction of sin? How can a backslider pray when he's under God's solemn dealings? God has provided everything, everything. The mercy seat that covered the ark, over the ark, the cherubims over it and so forth, was typical of Christ. He's the glorious ark in person. You've got to remember, when you're dealing with the tabernacle and the temple, pondering it, every part of sacred furniture brought forth Christ, not just one part, all of it did. So the altar of incense brought forth the glory of Christ's intercession and his savoriness and his virtue and worth in his relationship, or not his relationship, in his intercession with it to the Father for poor sinners. The brazen altar, the sacrifice, Christ's death, the lamp of God. Christ is the light of the world. He's the glory of heaven. He's the glory of the gospel. He's the glory of your life, the light of your life. And the most holy place, the showbread we could speak of. Everything concerned Christ, even the ark itself, not the ark, the tabernacle itself. Christ spoke of destroying the temple in 3 days and rebuilding it. Even the temple, even the building, typified the glory of the Son of God. Everything. But particularly in the most, the Ark of the Covenant. Now the blood was brought before it. Aaron brought forth the blood of the Feast of Expiation, the blood of the bullocks and the blood of the goat, and sprinkled it before the mercy seat and upon the mercy seat. Dear friends, when you pray, oh, plead what Jesus has done and said. Plead his precious and atoning blood, even if you understand it not. Friend, if I didn't have any spiritual exercise because I didn't understand it, we'd have no spiritual exercise at all. It's a venture. Friend, it's a constant learning of Christ. We know so little. After all these years, we get smaller, but he gets more valuable. Go and plead his precious blood for everything what he has said. It was sprinkled, and over that mercy seat, and upon that mercy seat, God spoke. He would there meet and commune, of course, in the person of Christ, meet and commune with Aaron and with Israel and so forth, and Moses. He would meet them, there he would commune with them, and he did. His glory appeared. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Thou art coming to a king. Friend, I know we get used to this familiar, these words, it's so familiar, and you may consider an earthly king, but you don't ever think of that. A heavenly king, the king of grace, the king of love, who is also the high priest and has laid down his life. Such a king, he laid down his life for his subjects to redeem them from death. That's the glory of this king. When men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to faint. Let us consider some of these points here. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. This is another promise, another certainty. Now, you get those feelings sometimes, it's no good praying. Friend, what a thing to say. We have to come to this. We have to pray concerning the Lord's will. But we have to consider something else. Earthly things, we do have to yield over to the Lord who is good. Jacob, I'm going to come to Jacob in a minute. He could not let his need of mercy go. Esau was coming. He feared for his wives and the children. He could not let it go. But we have to say this. We do have to yield things over. But it would be a great mercy if we were enabled to wrestle in prayer with the Son of God. And I believe I know something of this. But I have many outstanding things I'm very worried over. I'm talking about the pathway things. There's one thing, dear friend, you cannot yield over. That's your never dying soul. How can you say, I fall into his hands? There is a venture of, into thy hands I cast my soul, and so forth. There is a venturing, but that is faith falling on the glory of the everlasting arms. You cannot leave. Surely your never dying soul, to just yield over, well, if it's the Lord's will, it's the Lord's will. That's impossible. That's foolishness. I will answer thee. I will answer thee. Son of David, have mercy on me. Look for our encouragement. Look at some of those cases that came to the Lord while he was on earth. Have you found your own case in some of these utter impossibilities and long periods? the lunatic son since he was a boy, falling into the fire, falling into the water. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, and she had tried everything. Everything. And grew worse. Are you struggling, growing worse? And the woman bowed down with infirmity for 13 years. Those born blind. Born blind. Look at the grace. Call unto me and I will answer thee. In the Bible, can you see anywhere in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where the Lord Jesus turned any away? Ah, there was one, but he was holding on to his riches, you know. He was holding on to something. Ah, may that find us out. What are we hanging on to? It must be Jesus only. He turned none away. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And he answers in grace and mercy. I will go to Jacob before I forget to. You know, Jacob was led about, you know. He was led of the Lord. I know that it was agreed that he should go and leave his home and go and visit Bethuel and Laban and so forth because of the wrath of Esau. But it was all appointed. And they had acted so foolishly. But you and I have acted foolishly, you know. We've acted just as foolishly as Rebekah and Jacob, both heirs of glory. But on his return, Jacob is brought to prayer. And he prays, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. And then he comes to it personally. The Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country. He's returning, not of his own will, under grace, under promise, under mercy. And a backsliding soul is returning under grace and under mercy and under promise, because there are promises to returning backsliders. Not to backsliders full stop, but to returning backsliders. That's grace. That's grace. Enter thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. See the confession. How we need to read the Bible slowly. And of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. The goodness of God to him. Has the Lord shown us anything of his goodness and mercy? Therefore with my staff I passed over this Jordan and become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. For he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good. If any of you have anything to plead with the Lord you've heard of in a sermon or spoken to your soul, anything concerning the blessing of Christ, get to and plead it, friend. You're going to need it in this day of trouble. The Lord says, call unto me, I will answer thee. Friend, the text itself, without any further elaboration, if it only entered the heart, I will answer thee. Oh, he will answer us. Maybe it's by fire, but no. Well, yes, he will deal with us for our iniquities. But he answers in grace. Here, the text, the context is at a time of great calamity, but the promised mercy, the prospect of restoration. Thou saidst, I will surely do thee good. and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Now Jacob's got to the very root of the matter. And so that's where we need to get to the very root of the matter. Christ, Christ. This here Jacob is dealing with the promised of the seed. That has now been fulfilled. And now we are pleading the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, sealed with his blood. But the time comes when that comes, that wrestling prayer. There was a man with him. A man. Oh, we want access to the throne of grace. Friend, a little, oh, that Christ might be given us to be in view a little. I will not let thee go. This is very high. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. When you think of this, he's spoken of as the angel, he's spoken of as the man, the Son of God, in the form of a man, the angel of his presence. You know, he said to Jacob, this is a wonderful thing, you know. Let me go, for the day breaketh. Oh, the condescending grace of God. Let me go, for the day breaketh. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Wrestling, wrestling. Are you wrestling with God's word? For help, for your soul, for your pathway, for your need, your impossibility, the Lord to appear, to open the door, to undertake. And he blessed him there. And he changed his name. He asked up, how does he ask after my name? The day breaketh, the day breaketh. And he blessed him there. Dear friend, I can only bring these out in Scripture. The Lord must work in our hearts. You know, and I think this is often overlooked, Solomon's prayer, the dedication of the temple. Solomon, the grace given to him, prophesied and foresaw the times and trials ahead for the nation of Israel, as it was in those days, of course, became Judah when the 10 tribes revolted. But, you know, God sealed Solomon's request in public prayer with fire from heaven. And Jehoshaphat was brought to plead it. Now, the glory and grace upon Zion, Christ has sealed with his death and resurrection. Not just one, both, both. Oh, that we may have the grace given us to go and plead Jesus' name for all your need, all your need. Personal. Look, if we are redeemed, our whole body is redeemed. And our whole life is redeemed. All of it. Not just soul. We, of course, it is our never dying soul, but the body will be raised up. The body belongs to Christ. It's got to lay in corruption because of sin. But it will be raised in power, incorruptible, a glorified body in the glorious image of the Son of God. All your circumstances are in the Lord's hand. David prayed, my times are in thy hand. My times are in thy hand. Friend, you're going through a great trial. Someone here perhaps going through a great trial. In God's hand. Loneliness, fear, the Lord silent. In my times are in thy hand. He has his set appointed time to deliver Zion. And you can't hasten it. You can't hasten it. But wait on him. Wait on him still. He will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much more, that less this house that I builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house, typical of Christ. God's eyes are upon Christ, upon the Lord Jesus. Friend, you want the Lord's eye, you want God's eye to be on you, but his eye is upon Christ. And as you plead Jesus' name, so you are seen and heard and known. I know God knows all things, but in the covenant, we said this morning, we're chosen in him. He is our head. He's our head. He's our captain, our saviour. And as you plead his name, so his eye is upon his son continually. His eye was toward the temple all the time. And those that pray to the temple, as is recorded here, it was proven down through the ages that were to come, or the years to come. Hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and thy people Israel when they pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place when there is forgiven. He goes on. When the people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee and shall turn again to thee. What encouragements we have here. And then confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house. Then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again into the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, perhaps there's some soul shut up, you've had no spiritual rain, no blessing for a season, and you're parched because they have sinned against thee. If they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, and thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. And he goes on, if there be in the land famine, pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, caterpillar, if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart. Do you know the plague of your heart? And spread forth his hand toward this house. See, the Lord's name was in Jerusalem. But where is Christ now? Are you spreading forth your hand to heaven? Where he is? Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and so forth. I won't labour the point. The answer by fire. The fire came down, sealed, consumed the sacrifice. There was great rejoicing. Look at King Jehoshaphat. We have no might against this company which cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Our eyes were... What did he do? He pleaded Solomon's prayer. And what a deliverance. And what an answer. Look at Jonah. Look at Hezekiah. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in, even into thy holy temple. Look at Hezekiah, pleading the glory of the Passover. Pleading what he had done, not what he had done by merit, but for the glory of God. Pleading God's goodness to him. His life was spared. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Call unto me, friend. Call unto me, says God. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Things that are promised, but you can't see them as yet. They're hidden. Those hidden things. Dear friend, let me just consider your life. Some of you are younger. Some are older. When Christ who is our life shall appear. What will it be? Then shall we appear with him in glory, in his likeness, in his image. We shall be satisfied. We shall be satisfied in his likeness. We shall be one with him, clothed in his righteousness. Show thee great and hidden things, the glory of his kingdom. But before we get there, dear friends, there is a river to cross. And for younger ones, no doubt, as grace bears, the unknown way. Give me Christ, or else I die. Lord Jesus, reveal thyself. Lord Jesus, shine. Reveal thyself. Give me a face. Give me a touch. Lord, let me feel my sins gone. Let me know how they're gone. They just don't disappear, as it were, by some peculiar way. They're laid on Christ, buried with him, put away. Precious Jesus, reveal thyself to me, as my Lord and my God. I said this morning, and I'll say it again, this will break our heart. This will bless us. This will be a year of jubilee when we see Jesus in our place. Don't you long for it? Pray for it. Pray for it. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. What of your pathway? Friend, it seems sometimes an anguish. We concentrate on earthly things, and it will end in vexation. Seek ye first, what does Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his right, or the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now I know it's by grace, you can't do it yourself, but wrestle with him, casting all your care, soul, body, relationships, pathway, future, your affliction, your loneliness, your anxiety, the trial, the end of the journey, all your care upon him. What an entering in. Peter learned this. Peter learned it. The Lord cared for him. He cursed. He swore, he denied, I know not that man. The Lord cared for him. He cares for sinners. I know they're his people, but he careth for you. All your care upon him. Great and hidden things. His mercy, the hidden love, the hidden care, the unknown way. A hope in death, a hope beyond this world, beyond this world, beyond this world. A hope for heaven. Now is not something unknown. It's in Christ. That's the vital exercise. Christ made known, made precious. Well, made needful first, of course. Made precious, the one thing needful. Friend, that's the preparation for heaven. But I know we're beggars, and we'll be beggars through the journey to the end, panting for him to come again. And before I conclude, I want to, in this context, is mercy to backsliders. And he says in Hosea, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. What a gracious word to a poor wanderer. What a blessed word to a poor wanderer. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. What language? The Lord thy God. Return to him. For thou hast fallen, and that's real, you know. That's very real to one who's wandered off. It's very real. What a blessed language to some poor soul. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Then the instruction is given. Oh, God gives bless. Take with you words. What words? Lord, thou hast said. Lord, thou hast said. Take with you words. And turn to the Lord and say unto him, and these are some of the words, take away all iniquity, subdue it, wash me, cleanse me, and receive us graciously. Receive me graciously in thy grace, in thy gracious way, as thou didst turn and look on Peter. And again, I just, one other text, I would just let the wicked seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, if he will abundantly pardon or multiply to pardon. All your care. Friend, those great and hidden things, a place prepared. Ah, oh, Jesus, reveal thyself. Christ to be revealed in the scripture. Friend, as your friend, your saviour, your redeemer, your Lord. And gone before you in death. It's hidden, isn't it? Gone before you. Do you know the Lord Jesus has gone before his people in all the pathway, but we need grace to see it and have our eyes opened. He's gone to prepare a place. We do but follow. I know that word follow me is often taken concerning the ordinance of his house, and that's very nice, that's very blessed. But he's gone before his people to heaven all the way through. Great and hidden things, mighty things is the translation, but there is a meaning also of that which is hidden, which thou knowest not, a fullness yet to be shown, a fullness of love, a fullness of grace, a fullness of peace, a fullness of righteousness in the dear Redeemer. Look, I'm going to have to leave the word. I wish I could have mentioned more circumstances, but we haven't. May the Lord bless the word. And remember the context. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. And it will cure them and reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. This is one of the hidden things. Behold, and I will cause the captivity of Judah, the captive Israel, to return. And we'll build them as at the first. They'll come back. They'll come back. They'll come back to me. And I will bless them. I'll restore them. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. I will do this. Poor trembling soul, poor troubled heart. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. Now notice this. And if you're a child, if you're a living soul, it will be so real to you. Sinned against me. Me, the Lord. You've done it against me. You wanderer. Against me, and I will pardon their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. Great and precious promises, aren't they? And they're yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. May it be a word for some poor soul this night, and show thee great and hidden things. My goodness, I will make, he said to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. his goodness to pass before us, and it does. If only we had eyes to see it. All your care upon him. He careth for you. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty or hidden things which thou knowest not.
The collections last Lord's Day were £725, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, and God willing, he will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And the cemetery trustees hope to meet tomorrow evening at 7:30. Let us close with hymn 1097. A refuge for sinners, the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Hymn 1097.
Thank you. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.